Hello everyone and welcome to Toonami Therapy today on August 26th of 2021. I'm Michael.
I'm Tommy.
We are here to talk about some of the anime stuff we've been watching, much of it on Toonami. And also, to totally go back on our suggestion in the previous episode where we said we would watch the Evangelion movies, then realized how much time that would actually take and decided, we'll do something else. So we were thinking of doing watching Fate Unlimited Blade Works, but then we saw a bunch of people online suggesting, it's better to watch Fate Zero before that. And of course, then I saw a few people say the opposite, and a bunch of people, asking what series you should watch first in the Fate series is a little like going to a bunch of Star Trek fans and asking them what they think the best movie is.
Yeah.
Anyway, we'll get to that later, though. We'll be getting to that at the end, and we'll be talking a little more about that. In the meantime, though, first we have our Toonami stuff to handle, and we begin with Fina Pirate Princess, Episode 3. So, in this episode, they go to a new, they stop by at this port to get supplies, and most plot pertinently get Fina into a outfit that actually could be useful in a fight, rather than that dress thing she had. Anyway, then because this is an action series, they get ambushed by a bunch of pirates, but thankfully our heroes have superhuman sword skills and are able to deal with them. Although, even though one of the enemies has apparently superhuman, shooting abilities, because they're able to hit someone pretty well with a gun from quite a bit off, because this is supposed to be 18th century, I think. I don't think guns were that good, but yeah, anyway, they managed to do that, and they get away, and then one of the bad guys gets killed by the bigger bad guy, because that's the best way to try, for failing him, because that's the best way to try to make sure you keep your people loyal to you, right?
Yeah. Is that it?
Yeah, that was basically it. It was definitely the best of the episode so far.
Yeah, absolutely. And I actually really liked this episode. We even had a clothing montage at one point. This series, this episode was the first episode, I think it would have, I think that's where it should have been, because those first two episodes were kind of like, huh? But then this one really got me introduced to the characters, although I can't remember the names, but at least I felt like, okay, there's the twins and there's the other guy. Yeah. So, I thought it was a great episode.
Yeah, it was much more enjoyable than the previous ones. Well, than the previous one. The first one, it was more enjoyable than the first and second, but I liked the first more than the second, but this was the best of the group. I just had a thought in regards to the clothing montage. I wonder, when they do that, is this like a case where before, when they're in the early process of making the show, they decide, okay, these are what the characters should wear, and they come up with a bunch of different drawings. Do they just, for these sort of things, do they say, hey, let's hold on to these, we can use them in a clothing montage? I mean, we already got the designs. I don't know, probably not, but I just thought that was just something that occurred to me. But yes, we got a little more of the care of the who I assume is supposed to be the secondary cast, who we really didn't get that much of before. Well, I mean, we got some in the second episode, but it was kind of boring, so I didn't remember most of it. See, that's the problem sometimes an anime has. They give you the necessary information, but because they did it in a boring way, I don't remember it when it's actually important.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so that was Fina Pirate Princess. And then we are on to My Hero Academia episode 104. It's a filler episode, which you can tell because it gives the female characters a lot of focus. But, yeah, they have to go and try to stop some... It's a... Well, for... at the beginning and the end, of course, it's basically... we get, like, beach episode shenanigans. And then in the middle of it, we have them go on a mission to try to stop guys from smuggling something illegal. And they managed to do it and stuff. But then the bad guy, says, whatever, we had enough. He said, oh, really? If we already had enough, then why did we get all those extra, bring all those extra ones? He said, well, we needed a plot for this filler episode that at least kind of tied into the overall plot.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I fortunately don't have that much to say about this episode. It was, I mean, sometimes you get decent filler. I thought this was kind of more on the boring side.
Yeah, this was boring. Didn't even have the best girl anyway, Momo. So, I think by now I know that I'm never going to get into My Hero Academia. It's taken 5 seasons, which I've watched like 3.5 of, and I'm just like, I don't think I'm ever going to like this thing. So, by the way, have you ever wondered why on my anime list, like older anime, it just listed as one series and it doesn't matter if it's like hundreds of episodes, it just listed as one series. But now, like every show gets a different, like newer shows get different things for each season they are put out. And I can't figure out why, because it's just not consistent. And it's just a little thing that bugs me, because it's like, well, if I were to give out a score to the whole thing, it would either be better or worse than I would for just season by season. So I don't know why they do that, but that was just a thought I had.
I think I don't know exactly, but my guess is the fact that for the older series, those are like, most of those were largely complete when they were like already complete when I don't know at what point they started, you know, dividing them up by seasons and such. But I can see how for the older seasons, well, they were already complete, so you might as well just put them all together. But for the later series, you'll have a lot of people, you know, based on the first season rating it. And then maybe the second season is way better or way worse, but then a lot of those people are never going to go back and adjust their ratings as a result of that. So their older ratings, so this is kind of a way to try to like differentiate the different if a series has like a big increase or decrease in quality in the different seasons.
Mm-hmm.
That would be my guess. Yeah, I mean, it's a good thing for Attack on Titan they did that, because otherwise the second half of season 3 wouldn't be the third highest rated thing on the site. Because,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, we got Attack on Titan season 3 part 2 is And then, like, the next one for the final season, which will probably be split up. Oh, yeah, that's down to 17th. Why? How? I'm surprised that the, like, Attack on Titan, the final season, or Shingeki no Kyojin, the final season, as it calls it, because they always give the Japanese names.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm a little surprised that's that high, but I don't know. I guess some people really liked that one. My favorite part of it was still the second half of season 3. A lot better than the first half of season 3. Am I right?
Yeah, I'm not really surprised about those being so high because it seems like my anime list is kind of like a popularity contest, so... Hmm. Obviously, Attack on Titan is one of the most popular ones. And once Attack on Titan fades away, then something else will take its place.
Oh, number one is this is a recent addition to the one, Gintama the Final. It's a Gintama movie. It's number one at 9.17. It knocked Full Metal Alchemist Brotherhood off the top.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so anyway, so we got that. So that was My Hero Academia. I have. Did we actually watch Yashahime? I can't remember.
We kind of sort of watched it, but
we watched it. I cannot remember anything about what happened. Let me check. Wait, there was a part of a stream. I remember that because I commented about how the previous two episodes like were about water stuff, and I was like, "See, water, it's keeping up the pattern."
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that was it. Oh, now I remember. This was the one where they had the enemy that had the attack that like put you to sleep, but it didn't affect Setsuna. Because she can't sleep. Once again, the thing that Toa is so insistent on getting, like saying, we got to get rid of this so you can go to sleep. Well, if you had done that, you all would have lost and possibly died. Yes, but not anything to say about that otherwise. Again, we've covered it. Just listen to those old episodes. Then we move on to Food Wars episode 62. Or is it 63? I think it's 62. Yes, it's 62. This is the start of the new season.
Okay, are you doing this one?
Do you want to do it? You usually know do the it.
No, you can do it.
Okay. So we get a flashback thing. I think I didn't check, but I think I saw someone comment this before that between this and the previous episode. So do you remember how at the start of the previous season they had like just Soma and Megumi and her name sounds too much like Megumin from Konosuba. It's literally an N apart.
Yeah.
So Soma and Megumi are like riding bicycles away, and we get this flashback there to their meeting with the Ten, and like apparently, so basically, it just skipped through several chapters of the manga and then had an abbreviated flashback, and I think that's what they did here.
Uh huh.
But yeah, so basically, they are. I don't know if there's that much that really happened here. It was they're starting on the new round of the Shokugekis, and there's this thing with Soma who had to recruit a guy because, you know, the series is realizing, oh, yeah, he's on their team, and I guess we got to give him some kind of backstory so that the viewer cares about him. Mm-hmm. And in yet another case, Soma goes up against him with his specialization. And the guy who loses in a specialization can fulfilling the pattern. To be fair, it was only a technical victory of Soma because the other guy basically gets bored and quits. But still, the pattern holds.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't get the whole specialization thing because it's becoming so predictable now. It's like on Survivor when someone says, I'm in a good position, I'm not going to be going home for a while, and then you know they're going to get eliminated that episode. It's kind of like that. And I wasn't too fond of this episode. Just not a good start to the season.
Yeah, I mean, in the fact that I'm having trouble remembering anything about it other than that flashback bit is kind of something. But I then again, I don't know if that, like I said, I don't think that much really happened. They just started making the food.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So yeah, we got Food Wars. Then we get Black Clover episode 162. So in the previous episodes, we had the bad guys attack the Golden Dawn base and kill a bunch of characters we didn't really care about. But still, they killed off half. It's true they killed off the half of the Golden Dawn we didn't care about, but they still killed off half of them. This time, the Black Bulls get attacked, although I have a feeling that their casualty list is probably going to be much shorter. So they try to fight against the bad guy named Dante, and everyone is struggling against him. Even after all that training, which the characters mentioned, even after all that training, he's beating us. And I'm thinking, yeah, maybe this is why the manga skipped over all of it. it feels that mentioning that scene, if you've skipped it over, seems a little better than after the anime spent all this time on it.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, so they're fighting against them, but are having a lot of difficulty. But Asta manages to seem to try to figure some stuff out and hit the bad guy in the end. So mostly it's them really basically trying their best but still losing, and then at the end it looks like they might have started to make a come around, or is that even a word, come around? What's the word for the thing, the thing when it changed? A comeback, making a comeback. That sounds much better than come around. Anyway, so they seem to maybe be doing that, or maybe he'll just say, well, that was a good try and beat them all anyway. We'll find out next episode.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I don't know really what to say about this episode. Kind of average, I think.
It's really just kind of a redo of the previous two episodes. It's with characters we care more about, but it also isn't as emotional, I guess, so far.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess it kind of evens out a bit. Okay. So then we move on to Baka and Test episode 19.
Okay, I really don't know what to say about this episode except for, remember the jokes they've made in every other episode of this series? Well, they make the same jokes this episode, and that's pretty much all it is. In fact, it's pretty much not much more than just a redo of the last episode, kind of like Black Clover. It's like the same thing as the last episode. I don't really know what to say about it. It was a little funny, but it was also pretty repetitive. So Yeah.
Yeah, the other thing about it, yeah, that's a good point. It's kind of like Black Clover in that it's repeating things, except with Black Clover, at least it was repeating stuff in introducing a different villain. This doesn't even have that. It really is just repeating the same stuff, except it makes less sense this time. Here's a few things. So their plan, once again, is to try to peep in on the girls during the bath or whatever, because they know that the blackmailer has a burn mark on her butt, so they need to figure out who it is. So, all right. Now, the first time, it made a little bit of sense. But the thing is that the girls know this now. So, like, literally, there was a bunch of girls that were blocking their way. So, what were they planning to do? What? Let's suppose they had managed to get in, and they somehow managed to, at that point, get a look at every all the girls there. They would have still missed a half that were outside of it. What if it was one of those? And the other question is where Himeji and Minami, you know, they're like, why are you so obsessed about this? And, you know, they're actually being apparently legitimately hurt by the guys tempting you it. And I'm thinking, guys, just explain the situation to them. Maybe they could help somehow.
Yeah. And here's the other thing. They're supposedly being blackmailed, but then they're doing all this stuff that gets themselves in trouble anyway. So what's the point of the blackmail? They've already done worse for themselves. By doing this stuff, they've actually made their situation worse than if they had actually gotten blackmailed. So it's like, this doesn't make any sense. Now, I will admit that the tape recording thing was kind of funny. But aside from that, it just felt like nonsense to me.
Oh, yeah, the part where they, where like some of the people are recording what they're saying and then just editing it so that it sounds like they're saying something different. Yeah, that was kind of funny. But other than that, it was just repeating the previous episode, only making less sense.
Mm-hmm.
Honestly, though, I think the one thing that I thought was kind of funny was the narrator getting cut off. That was actually really funny. That was the best joke in the episode. It just does not make sense at this point, their plan. And I mean, yeah, why not just tell them what's going on? That you have, literally, this is it. They can then go, since they're going into, like, you know, the bath, the other girls and stuff anyway, they could go, hey, we'll try to keep an eye out for a girl who has that aspect. And I'm like, yeah, there's no reason not to tell them at this point. So this was not a very good episode. I will say again, I liked the gag with the narrator getting cut off, but that really had nothing to, you could have done that gag in any episode.
Yeah.
Okay. So we move on to Kaguya-sama episode 21. So in our first section, we have where Miko, who, you know, keeps having all those wacky misunderstandings happen to her, is telling her friend about it. And her friend is saying, well, you know, that doesn't make sense and the way you're interpreting it. So she, you know, then realizes, you're right, they were all misunderstandings. Except her new idea is that the whole thing, all of them were just orchestrated by Kaguya to make the rest of the group look bad. Mm-hmm. Which is just as silly. We also get a kind of out of nowhere Peanuts reference that I actually really liked.
What was that?
That was a part where the two of them are talking, and then the animation just very abruptly switches to look just to make them look like Peppermint Patty and Marcy talking.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
there's also, in terms of, this is a weird part because there's a reference to 50 Shades of Grey where you see this book called 50 Shape of Love. And first I was thinking, oh, that's kind of funny. And then I grew depressed because it meant that 50 Shades of Grey was so popular that an anime was referencing it. So we get that. The second one is where Kaguya's maid is trying to help her so that she's not as constantly awkward around Shirogane. So they come up with this idea of her associating when she puts her hand on her face to calm her down, which is great when dealing with Shirogane, except for the part where she grabs that hand and she's not able to do it. So she finally just kind of knocks him out to make him go away.
Yeah, did you see that part where they were showing a baseball player making the same motion like every time? That was actually based on a real life baseball player.
Oh,
yeah.
Interesting.
That was that was his exact thing that he would always do. So, and he was Japanese. So, yeah.
When you say Japanese, so they were do you mean they were just ethnically Japanese, or do you mean they were actually on the Japanese baseball team?
They were Japanese playing in America.
Okay. That's what I was trying to. You're out. All right. Okay. That's interesting. And then the third one is where Ishigami, who, by the way, the first, this is backtracking, but the first of these mini episodes is named Yu Ishigami Closes His Eyes Part 2, except he doesn't actually show up in that part at all. So anyway, in this one, he does focus on him, and he decides to join the cheerleading team. And one of the captains says, "Hey, how about as a joke, we all the guys wear the girls' uniforms and vice versa." So he ends up getting it one from Kaguya, and yeah, that's basically the episode.
Yeah.
So, kind of like the previous episode, the first two were really funny, I thought. And the third one was not quite as funny, but was still decent.
Yeah, I like that second one. I thought that the third one where they had them make him wear those clothes felt kind of forced. Like, okay, how are we going to how about we make an episode where that character wears girls' clothes? Okay, let's make it. And that's pretty much all that episode was for, hoping to get a gag out of it. But I didn't think it was all that funny. So, yeah, just about an average episode this week.
Okay. Yeah. Although I did like the part where Kagi is asking him, "Okay, is the waist pinchy?" He says, "Oh no, not really. The chest part is kind of pinchy though," which makes her annoyed.
Mm-hmm.
That bit was kind of funny. Honestly, my favorite gig was probably in the second section where the whole thing just is portrayed as some sort of fighting game.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay. So, yeah, so that finally brings us to the new series we're checking out, which is Fate Zero. So we were originally thinking of doing Unlimited Blade Works, but I saw a bunch of places suggest watching Fate Zero before that. Of course, I've seen, you'll get all these different suggestions from all these different sources, but based the whole thing is so convoluted, and I'm not even going to go into all of these convoluted things unless you want me to.
No, that's okay.
Okay. But I will explain quickly the way these things work together. So Fate Stay Night was originally this visual novel game, and there were three routes to it that were quite different, I understand. They were called Fate, Unlimited Blade Works, and Heaven's Feel. Now, Fate and Unlimited Blade Works were adapted into the original... the first was adapted into the original Fate Stay Night anime. And the second, Unlimited Blade Works, was adapted into the anime Unlimited Blade Works. Nice and convenient there. And the last one, Heaven's Feel, was adapted into three anime movies. They're... So those animes are just adaptations of the different routes. Fate Zero is based on a novel series that was released after the game that served as a prequel to it. Although it ends up with a, although that was actually released before the adaptations for Unlimited Blade Works and Heaven's Feel. So that makes all that confusing. The important thing is that the way they fit together is that three of the animes are just alternate routes of the game. So they're just, you know, alternate timelines. And Fate Zero is the prequel to the game, and thus it serves as a prequel to all three of them. So that's what we're on right now. We're on Fate Zero Episode 1. Do you want to describe the plot, or do you, or should I?
You're better at it than me, so.
Okay, so basically, so I'm going to admit I went into this with basically almost no knowledge of the Fate franchise. I mean, the plot. I did a bunch of research on things on how the like the series went together and stuff, but not really of the actual plot. So anyway, there is going to be some kind of competition over getting the Holy Grail, except it's not actually the Holy Grail. They explicitly say this is not the Holy Grail. So I don't know why they call it the Holy Grail.
Yeah.
Anyway, whoever gets it, the way it works is, and I think you know, understand the franchise a little better than me. So if I say anything completely wrong, feel free to tell me, but the way it seems to work is that you have these competition things and seven people are selected based on reasons and they go against each other. And so we are introduced to a bunch of these characters. There is one guy who is apparently some devotee to the church. Not clear what kind of church it is exactly, but it seems to be an organized church in anime, so it's got about a 70% chance of being evil. A 70% chance of being evil, a 20% chance of merely being corrupt, a 5% chance of being incompetent, and then I guess the remaining 5% is of it actually just of it actually being good. So we'll see what how it ends up. Anyway, so he joins into it. There is this weird scene where things are explained to him by these two guys who are just walking around in a circle around him the whole time. That scene was kind of weird. I saw a video on YouTube where someone took stuff like from that scene and played Dead or Alive's You Spin My Head Round Like a Record to it. So, you know, it's going, you spin my head right round, while they're just doing that. Okay. The other characters, there's the kid who is upset over his professor denying the possibility of how your skill in magic isn't dependent on your bloodline. I have no idea what the rules for this universe are. I'm going to guess it probably doesn't, because that's something, because it's so that's what you always have in these magic series. There's the people who are like, "Ooh, it's totally dependent on your bloodline," and then people are like, "No, it's not about that," and then they're always proven right, except for, you know, maybe one or two of the main characters. If you're of royal blood, then you're then that could probably matter in making you the chosen one. Then there's this other guy. There's worms involved in that somehow. There's a former assassin guy who married someone and he's involved in. I'm kind of speeding through this stuff. So it's basically set up to introducing the characters, and they all summon some sort of, I guess they summon their stands or whatever they are. I don't know if they're like stands in JoJo, but I'm going to call them that anyway. Anyway, so they
called something. I forget what they're called.
So that's what happens at the end. I can't remember which one of them it is. It's the one of the guy. What it was a church guy who summons the person at the one at the end, but he's very surprised at who shows up. And I'd be surprised also. I was not expecting a crossover. It's Alice from Sword Art Online.
Yes, he does kind of look like that character.
Yeah, I know her actual name is Saber, but she looks right. So much like Alice.
I get the feeling she was around a lot longer than Alice was.
Yeah, honestly, there's a probably Alice probably was strongly inspired by it, but by her. But yeah, that, she just looked so much like her. And that awkward description of it was the episode.
Yeah. Yeah, that was a pretty enjoyable first episode, but very confusing too. So I was really confused the whole way through, even though I've seen Fate Stay Night, the original anime, which is like why I know that little girl who has a suitcase, why that's why she's important. Like, I know that much, but I was still very confused.
Yeah, but I thought it was enjoyable. Stuff was confusing, but I kind of feel like it's confusing in the way of, okay, we're going to introduce this stuff, and then either we'll explain it or you'll get it as you come along with the series. So we'll see. I understood things enough, I think. It's of what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, that was Fate Stay Night episode 1, which was double length apparently, but the rest of them look shorter, except for I think one or two episodes that actually do look like they're doing the ReZero task of being 29 minutes.
Yeah.
As long as you're not doing it every episode.
Yeah.
Okay, did you have any other comments on it?
No comments as of now.
Out of curiosity, though, you mentioned that you saw the original series. How was it? I've seen most people I've seen say that the original series wasn't that good.
I thought it was pretty good. Let's see, what did I give it on my anime list? I gave it an 8. Wow, I gave it an 8. So, yeah, it wasn't that bad. So, yeah, it's actually pretty good.
Okay, all right. So, yeah, we'll see how this goes. If we end up not liking it, I guess we can jump to Unlimited Blade Works or something else. But for now, we're sticking with it.
Yeah.
So that's all of our shows that we watched this week. I guess we can give into our usual obligatory top 3 stuff.
Yeah. So for me, third place will be third place will be Baka and Test, even though it wasn't that great of an episode. Second place will be Fate Zero, and first place will be Fena Pirate Princess.
Okay, well, for me, it would be, yeah, I think I will put for third place Fate Zero, for second place Fena Pirate Princess, and then in first place, I'll just give it to Kaguya-sama.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So, yeah, that's all of our stuff we were talking about. all right. Anything else to talk about other than anime or other anime, I guess?
No, that's pretty much it.
Okay. Oh, there was one thing that I wanted to something that I was going to mention. Let me double check to make sure what I was thinking. Okay, it doesn't really matter that much for our purposes, but apparently the Attack on Titan reruns are going to be replaced with Dr. Stone reruns.
Okay.
So, yeah, we've gotten that. Here was actually, this has nothing to do with anime, but I thought it was kind of interesting, so I might as well share it. So I was looking at something, and it was talking about, like, the percentage of websites using different languages on the internet. You know, like, what percent of websites use English, what percent have, you know, like, Spanish or French or any of these other languages. It's on, like, this website called w3text.com, 3 as in the numeral. And I don't know, it was surprised to me some of these, because as you might expect, the most popular language on the internet is English, by a mile, 62.3%. And then the second place was just at 7.5%, but the second place was actually kind of surprising to me. Do you have any guesses what it is?
Chinese.
No, Chinese is actually at like 1.3%. The language in second place is actually almost twice what was in third place, which was at 3.8%. What's the second place language at 7.5% on the internet? Do you have any guesses, or do you want me to tell you?
Just tell me.
It was surprising. It's apparently Russian. I think when you get down to internet language, it's mostly a matter. It's not just a matter of how many people speak it. It's how many people speak it and aren't necessarily going to be using, like, the English ones. Like, a lot of people speak Spanish, which is in fourth place at 3.8%. But I'm going to guess a lot of the people who speak Spanish and use the internet are communicating in English still.
Okay, so, well, I got to get going soon, so...
All right. Well, that's your useless fact for the day, I guess.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we will see you all once again next week for more stuff. Will it be good stuff? I guess you'll have to judge that. So, without further ado, we'll see you next week.
Bye.